It's January 6, 2017. Happy New Year and welcome back to Raging Chicken's Out the Coop podcast. This is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken Press and now Raging Chicken Media. Each week, I talk to our capital muckraker-in-chief, Sean Kitchen, about the good, the bad, and the ugly in state and national politics. On today's show, we're digging into the role of dark money. Dark money, what role is it playing in Pennsylvania elections now and in the future? We'll dive into Sean's articles, digging into the dark money swimming around right-wing glory boy, State Senator Scott Wagner's newly announced campaign for governor. The stage is set for a dirty election in 2018. And we're edging closer to the dawn of Trumplandia, T-minus 2 weeks and counting. We'll take a look at why the resistance must begin now. There are some encouraging signs from the new Democratic Party leadership, but let's be clear. The Democrats will cave at the drop of a hat unless there are powerful political movements pushing them to do the right thing. And Kentucky. Kentucky's in the news. Well, kind of. It makes a dramatic move to force through ALEC-based right-to-work legislation after right-wing Republicans gained supermajorities in the 2016 elections in that state for the first time in a long, long time. And guess who covered it, folks? Guess who had it front and center? Yeah, you didn't see it all over the cable news, no, but you did see it front and center of the Rick Smith show. Rick would led the, with this in his opening comments and yesterday's program on Thursday. And so we'll kind of run that down a little bit and talk a little bit about why it is so absolutely critically important for independent media in the land of Trump. And Raging Chicken now has a team of 8 writers ready to pull no punches in the resistance to the coming Trump administration. We'll introduce you to them and let you in on some new moves at Raging Chicken. All that and more on today's show. Happy New Year, Sean, man. Welcome back.
It's great hearing from you. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. Well, I did get to see you over break for a little while as I was coughing up my lung.
Yeah, it sounds like you're still doing it.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Walking pneumonia, bronchitis, whatever the heck this thing is definitely not something that I recommend to anybody.
No, that just sounds horrible.
Yeah, so in the final segment of today's show, maybe we'll kind of pick up a little bit and talk about a little meetup down in Tired Hands. That was the one thing. I'm sorry, my head's a little cloudy, folks, today, and I'm going to apologize on the onset. You might hear me kind of go dark there for a little bit. I'm just going to hit the mute button while I'm having a coughing attack. So that should be joyous, but. Enough about me, enough about the new year. Let's get right to it. Sean, you certainly brought in the new year with a bang. You got 2 articles out now going right at Pennsylvania State Senator Scott Wagner as he announces that, yes, indeed, as we've long suspected and talked about on the show, it will be running for the GOP gubernatorial nomination in 2018.
Yes, he hasn't officially come out and say anything yet, but he has said that he has acknowledged that there is a campaign. He has filed his papers and that he is assembling a team. The campaign papers for Scott Wagner for governor, that committee is going to be chaired by someone named John Kennedy. And he was running. He ran this group over the past 6 years named Citizens Alliance of Pennsylvania. Yes.
You know, this reminds me of it's a great name, right? Kind of echoes the Citizen Alliance groups that came out after kind of Reconstruction in the Deep South to kind of.
What, you mean like White Alliance?
Yeah, no, those are citizen groups, the Citizen Alliance groups.
Yeah, some of them. Over the past 6 years, they've been pushing an anti-tax, anti-union, anti-education policy. They're very in bed with, they're very willing to promote school choice, right to work, and pension reform in this state. And they've gotten a bunch of conservatives elected to office who have pledged not to take a pension when they got there.
And by school choice, let's be clear, we're talking about the privatization and the destruction of public schools, right?
Yes, we're talking about vouchers. We're talking about, you know, charter schools and all that good stuff. The Citizens Alliance, you know, seeing John Kennedy being picked for Wagner's chair, made me want to look into that group a little bit more and dig into their financials. You know, I was wondering if it was a Koch brother group or not. And here, most of their funding over the past 6 years has come from Students First.
What a wonderful name that is.
I know. It's such great doublespeak. But he's gotten his money from Students First, who's been pushing for charter schools, especially no charter reforms at all in Pennsylvania. They want to keep it The Wild West of charter schools. You know, one of the things that we're known for, some of the things we're known for, is our lack of charter school regulations. This is one of the groups that's been influential in that. And they've given the Citizens Alliance of Pennsylvania over $1.09 million since 2012. These have come in the even year election years, all this money. 1 year was $525,000, $300,000, and then $200,000dollars from Students First.
So let's talk about this group for a little bit, the Citizens Alliance and Students First here, because in the way that you frame this in your article too as well, I mean, you make it pretty clear that this is not a brand new group. I mean, they've already been effective in having impacts on elections in Pennsylvania. I mean, you, for example, this is from your article. So let me pull up the right.
They've been able to flank.
Campaign chair has ties to Betsy DeVos's dark money. You say the Citizen Alliance of Pennsylvania has been influential in getting anti-tax, anti-union, anti-education conservatives elected to the Pennsylvania General Assembly since 2010. In 2010, the group ran 12 candidates and 9 of the candidates won. So, I mean, we're talking about a group that has already demonstrated its willingness to go after even Republicans to ensure that they get their people in the assembly.
Right. And if you read down, the people they got elected are your Stephen Blooms. They're your Rick Saccones. They're your Mike Fulmers. These are the people who are putting out your ALEC-driven legislation, your stuff coming out of the Conservative Commonwealth Foundation and coming out of the Citizens Action of Pennsylvania, Citizens Alliance of Pennsylvania. Whenever any of these type of bills come out, these are the people who are front and center and hawking these bills. And, you know, one of the things that said, like, these are the people that are hawking the conservative ideology within the Republican caucus. I mean, these are the people who are overthrowing or having the coup within the Republican caucus. You know, they took credit for forcing a House speaker to resign.
Right. Exactly.
They forced couple of other people to resign. You know, they were behind. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if they were behind getting Pelleggi out of the Senate presidentship. And you have installing Jay Corman. Like, this is the type of stuff that they've been doing over the past 6 years.
Well, now what's interesting that the alliance between this group, right, and Students First, and then Senator Scott Wagner, because basically Scott Wagner has virtually the identical agenda as we see here with the Citizens Alliance. I know that you saw that Penn Live piece, the Penn Live profile of Senator Scott Wagner that just appeared a couple days ago, I guess.
I think yesterday.
Where he takes credit for kind of helping push out some of the less conservative or the less kind of right wing, we should say, people. So you have this group that's already demonstrated that they're going to do it. Senator Scott Wagner, you know, the guy who wants to be in the back of the room with the baseball bat, threatening his colleagues if they don't go his way, also kind of wanting to push things in that direction. This is potentially a really destructive alliance, especially when you throw in the fact that you've got the Students First connected up with the deep, dark money from Betsy DeVos and her husband, who are now going to be in the Trump cabinet.
Yes. So let me just, before we go into the DeVos connections, so Senator Wagner also, we have to remember, he won a special election through a write-in campaign, and Citizens Alliance was one of the groups that helped him with mailers and stuff and get him in there, get in the office. So he's kind of hiring the people that have brought him on. And, you know, I was actually talking to someone at the bar across the street from me the other day. You know, I live in Midtown Harrisburg, and I have connections to people who, you know, they're more willing to say things on this side of Forster Street than on the other side of Forster Street, where the Capitol is at. And, you know, someone was telling me that Scott Wagner and John Kennedy, the person who's leading his campaign and who led Citizens Alliance of Pennsylvania over the past 6 years, they kind of see themselves in those people. They're both, they both see themselves in each other. So they're kind of like a match made in heaven. You know, these are two people that are really good friends. And it's also, you know, they're both supporting the same ideologies. John Kennedy has been able to tap into that really deep money. I mean, Scott Wagner doesn't have to tap into money. You know, he's been willing to spend millions of his own dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars on Senate seats just to sway an individual chair. Right. So, I mean, he's shown the ability of building his own caucus within, you know, the Republican Assembly. But this guy, John Kennedy, is the one who's doing all the fundraising on for CAP. And 70% of his money 1 year came from Students First. I mean, you have to see what connections they have to American Federation of Children, which is ran by Betsy and Dick DeVos. And you have to start wondering, asking yourself, what connections does Scott Wagner, John Kennedy personally have with Betsy DeVos? You know, kind of wonder like where those personal connections are at.
No, I think what you just did there, I think is really important for people to hear, right? I mean, the layers of questions that you were just asking really kind of sets the tone for the, you know, one, the kind of work that you've done with Raging Chicken for a long time. But I think the kind of journalism, the kind of reporting that is going to be necessary moving forward. I mean, you know, it's just basic. I mean, in some ways, these are just basic questions, right? I mean, they're saying, hey, who is this person? You know, what's their background? And who are they connected to? And then who is that next circle? Who are they connected to? And where is this money? Like, I remember when you first kind of told me about this story and you kind of alerted me to the story, you basically were finding fairly readily, right? I mean, you were able to kind of pretty quickly figure out where the money was coming from and where a lot of these connections were.
Yeah, I mean, like, this stuff is out in the open. I mean, it's not like it's like I had to go digging for hours. I mean, I went right to the campaign finance report, Department of State website. You know, I typed in, says in the lines of Pennsylvania, and I checked who all their, you know, 8 years. They've been around since in 2012 or 2011 when they first got their first contributions in. And, you know, the majority of the money was coming from Students First. They were getting a lot of like $1,000, $2,500 donations or $500, $250 donations. But they were getting these individual large bulk sums coming in from the Students First at, you know, $50,000, $100,000, $300,000 at a time.
Yeah, and this is, you know, this is, and we should be clear too, $100,000, $300,000 is serious money, especially at a state the state level off your election.
Yeah, well, it's not even off year. You know, the every 2 years and even year numbers, you know, the presidential and the midterms. But it takes a lot less money to influence a state race than it does influencing a congressional race.
Exactly. And it seems like, you know, one of the things that struck me in seeing that, you know, because like our new commander in chief, kind of who will, you know, in 2 weeks time, we will watch him take that podium. Scott Wagner has also likes to use the Twitter. And, you know, it seems that the Post-Gazette out in Pittsburgh picked up on some of this. They picked up that he was sending signals that he's getting ready for an announcement. He originally said that the announcement was going to come either like, I don't know, last week or early in January. We still haven't seen anything yet. But certainly the media seems to be willing to spend a lot of time about conjecturing about when the announcement will come and looking at the background of Scott Wagner and who is this guy without getting into those kind of connections. I mean, is that your sense too as well? Because it seems to me it's like a glaring lack of really investigative reporting when it comes to this guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think having connections to Betsy DeVos and Dick DeVos is a, you know, a pretty big deal. These people are billionaire funders. I mean, these people, you know, shell out money to their own personal partisan campaigns, and they've known to be doing this stuff in states like Michigan, states like Wisconsin, you know, dumping hundreds of thousands of dollars to buy the legislature to you know, to stave off a recall efforts, and then to also push right to work legislation. I mean, we know what's going to happen day one when Scott Wagner becomes governor. You know, if Scott Wagner becomes governor day one, Pennsylvania is a right to work state. There's just no going around that. He's built up the capital in the Senate and in the House to where day one, that thing is going to be, you know, going through the committees and getting onto the waiting period, the 3-day waiting period.
Well, and I think, and given the fact, you know, and this is why, you know, in the opening, I brought up the fact that on the Rick Smith show yesterday, Rick brought up what just happened or is happening, actually. The Senate and the Kentucky Senate is set to vote probably as early as tomorrow. And the governor said he'll sign this legislation to make Kentucky a right to work state. And Rick was just, you know, I mean, it's why I got my Wisconsin sweatshirt on today. I mean, basically, we can see what happens. The elections have consequences. This is the first time in, a couple generations that Kentucky has had a Republican legislature from, you know, from top to bottom. And the first order of business that they have there is to go right to work. This is echoes of what happened in 2010 when you had the Tea Party victories and then you saw the onslaught in Wisconsin, which then began to parade across the country, right? So we're up to 27 now after if Kentucky goes through, be 27 states will be right to work, right? And let's be clear, what right to work means is basically that it's an anti-union provision to try to gut unions funding, right? Everybody has a right to work now. Nobody has to join a union. We could get into the particulars of that at some point. But looking at Kentucky and raising that banner about what's happening in Kentucky, and then seeing Scott Wagner like basically lining up here in Pennsylvania, should be sending off warning bells, right? I mean, alarms should be going off.
And let's not kid ourselves here. I mean, Scott Wagner sent out a personal email to his supporters bragging about how he was having lunch and exchanging business cards with Betsy DeVos.
That's great. Tell us a little bit about Betsy DeVos and why that's important.
Well, as everyone knows, Betsy DeVos is is now going to be the Department of Education Secretary. She has a history of pushing for school choice, school vouchers, privatization of public schools to charter schools throughout the country. And then she's like the new David Koch. You know, they're the new Koch brothers. They are the up-and-coming Koch brothers. You know, they're not getting a lot of attention, but they've been responsible for beating unions in their backyards, in Wisconsin, in Michigan. And look where those states are at now. You know, you said 10 years ago, 6 years ago, or four years ago, these states were Democratic strongholds. Now they voted for Donald Trump and gave Donald Trump the presidency. You know, it didn't just happen because, you know, Republicans came in office. It happened because of the right to work legislation there and defunding the unions.
That's right.
And, you know, and taking away the union's ability to, you know, drive people out to the polls, get the election stuff going, you know, do their voter drive campaigns. You know, this is the type of stuff that when you go after the unions with right to work states, this is the type of money that they lose. And, you know, you have Scott Wagner 2 weeks after the election sitting down having lunch with Betsy DeVos at the Republican Governors Association meeting, you know, weeks after their quarterly meeting. You know, that should set off red flags. This isn't a 2+2. This is like 1+1.
No, absolutely. And I have to say that this is one of the things what Sean just laid out there, the kind of importance of the historical record in sense, so kind of seeing how these things progress and how we got to where we are today. This is going to be something that we're going to continue to kind of dig into on the 2017 version of Out to Coup podcast and in Raging Chicken Press itself, because I think it's absolutely critical. So listen, we're coming up to a break right now. When we come back, Sean, I want to kind of just come back to the last point and we'll look at where we are with Betsy DeVos and where are you thinking about taking this story from here. We'll pick that up after the break. And I want to kind of look a little bit at what's happening in some concerning signs that's happening in the potential Trump administration, if he gets his picks and how he's trying to get his picks. And we'll kind of talk about the importance of independent media when we get back after this. This is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken. We'll be back right after this.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1944. That was the day that progressive-era journalist Ida Tarbell died. Often referred to as a leading muckraker, she is considered to have pioneered investigative journalism. She is best known for her exposé on the history of the Standard Oil Company, which was serialized in McClure's magazine starting in 1902. The 19-part series detailed John D. Rockefeller's rise to power, the oil empire he created, his business practices, secret alliances with railroads and refiners, and ruthless dealings. Tarbell had a personal stake in unveiling Rockefeller and Standard Oil. Her father was a small oil producer and refiner in Pennsylvania who was virtually ruined, as was much of the region, by Rockefeller's machinations in 1872. She noted, "Rockefeller and his associates did not build Standard Oil Company in the boardrooms of Wall Street banks and investment houses, water their stock, and rig the market. They fought their way to control by rebate and drawback, bribe and blackmail, espionage and price cutting, by ruthless, never slothful, efficiency of organization and production." Tarbell combed through hundreds of thousands of pages of documents and interviewed company executives and employees, competitors, regulators, and academics. In 1999, New York University ranked her history of Standard Oil fifth out of the top 100 investigative journalist pieces of the century. The expose eventually led to the breakup of the Standard Oil monopoly by the Supreme Court under the Sherman Antitrust Act in 1911. Though her views on unions were more complicated, her history of Rockefeller and Standard Oil revealed to the public, to labor unions, and to workers everywhere the levels tycoons will go to secure power and profits.
Labor History in 2, brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show.
Welcome back to Raging Chicken Radio's Raging Chicken Media's Out the Coop podcast. We're back here with Sean Kitchen. Sean, so where we left it was you were kind of, you know, wrapping up talking about the two articles you put about Scott Wagner, some dark money, the Citizens Alliance of Pennsylvania, connections to the DeVos family, Betsy DeVos, who has been nominated to be the Secretary of Education under Trump, the role of Students First in this kind of funding, whole lots of kind of, say, dark money and kind of familiar players for those of us who've been paying attention for a while. So, you know, if you're, well, first, you know, anything else that we didn't get a chance to talk about in those articles? And then second, kind of where's your reporting go from here?
I think articles, I think we covered everything. You know, like what that needs to be covered, you know, but with Betsy DeVos, you know, her, you have to know that her involvement in breaking up, she's a big union buster, and her involvement with right to work campaigns has been significant over the past couple of years. And that, you know, this phenomenon with Trump is something that's been happening in Rust Belt states where Democrats and union once had strongholds, and now they've lost those strongholds, you know, either through gerrymandering of 2010 with, you know, getting the House districts redrawn, the Republican campaign strategy to overtake the state houses, to then redraw the districts for the state and national, for Congress and state houses. Mm-hmm. But also, we have to realize that these are once Republican strongholds. These are once Democratic strongholds, and they're out to just destroy them.
Well, I think that's pretty,
you know,
clear.
That is their goal, and that is Scott Wagner's goal here. And it's pretty obvious that that is what he's going to be pushing for with someone like Betsy DeVos and all the connections to Betsy DeVos that he has. What I'm interested in the future is coming up is digging into seeing who his campaign staff is going to be, who he's going to be surrounding himself with, because it's going to be interesting. And then, you know, quickly get a report out on who these people are, where they've worked, and what organizations they have ties to. Because I really think that the importance of this article and the importance of the next article is finding a who's who of who is running his administration, who's going to be running his campaign. And really the first moves he's made is, boom, he's going for the target with Betsy DeVos.
Yeah, that seems absolutely clear. And I, you know, want to, you know, again, exactly what you're laying out there. So, you know, if there's anybody listening to this podcast and you're sitting there, man, that'd be something to be really cool to get involved with. You know, I'm sure that Sean would welcome the kind of assistance in the research. You want to dig into some of the stuff on your own, you know, drop us a line. You can drop me at editor@ragingchickenpress.org. And, you know, we'll get you set up because we want people that are interested in doing this kind of digging. You know, it's if you're a college student who's had progressive leanings and you wondered what you're ever going to do with those research skills that you learned in college. Well, guess what? This is what you do with them. Right. Especially if you're actually going to want to help out the country. So one thing I wanted to bring up is that, you know, we talk about, and I said this several times too as well, Betsy DeVos is Trump's nomination for Secretary of Education. She has a long history of being anti-public education, wanting to privatize, charterize, religiousize, if you will, schools. And she has to go through a confirmation hearing, right? And so do a lot of the kind of, you know, the very bad people that Trump has nominated, like Rex Tillerson and Elaine Chao and Mike Pompeo, all these people, they have to go through confirmation hearings. Now, what was interesting is that this didn't get original some coverage, but then Media Matters for America picked this up, and as did the Rachel Maddow show last night. And it looked at how Trump is planning on distracting attention away from these upcoming nominations. And this is the kind of thing that we should get prepared for in the kind of upcoming Trumplandia, right? So here's the deal, right? So Trump has not given a press conference in about, what is it, 7 months? Since July 27th was the last time that he gave a press conference, right? And the press is going, oh, you know, most president-elects give press conferences. This is unprecedented, blah, blah, blah. Like, how many times do we hear that kind of stuff? So, you know, it's been waiting. Everyone in the kind of traditional media, professional media, cable news especially, has been waiting for this press conference, right? And Trump has been just holding out. So finally, he releases the date. He makes an announcement, yes, on Twitter, that big conference, that big press conference, first one that he's given since he's been president-elect, will be on January 11th, right? So the press is going nuts, right? Meanwhile, over in the Senate, right, the Senate is responsible for the confirmation hearings. Over in the Senate, what does Mitch McConnell do, right? Mitch McConnell schedules not one, not two, but five confirmation hearings during the same time that Trump is going to be giving his press conference, right? Or at least now. Here's the rundown. And these are the people on Wednesday, January 11th, which will be going through confirmation. Rex Tillerson, right? The guy from ExxonMobil. He was up for the Secretary of State. The hearings will be in the morning, the afternoon. Elaine Chao, right? Transportation Secretary, former awful Labor Secretary, and, right, wife to Mitch McConnell, right? Her hearing will be at 10:15 a.m. Mike Pompeo, right, for the director of the Central Intelligence Agency, which has a horrible background track record, not the CIA, but Mike Pompeo, his hearing will be at 10 a.m. Betsy DeVos, who we've been talking about today, her hearing, up for Secretary of Education, will be at 10 a.m. John Kelly, Secretary of Homeland Security, his hearing will be at 2 p.m. So we've lined up, right, some of the most controversial, he's lined up some of the most controversial nominations from Trump during the same time, on the same day that he's giving this press conference. So what does that do, right? What the media does, right, because you know the media, especially cable news, right, which where most people get their news from, or broadcast news for that matter, those folks are going to be like chomping at the bit to get themselves over to that press conference, right? Because that's the interesting stuff. That's the shiny stuff. That's the stuff that sells. That's the piece that brings in advertisers. That's people that's going to get Trump on their right side. And then they can report about, oh my God, can you believe it? He said this stuff. Meanwhile, right, the real important stuff is going to be going on in the Senate chambers. And frankly, it's not as sexy to cover. So this is the kind of stuff that we're going to have to dig in for, because Trump is a master at this. Trump is a master, and I'm so getting, I got a piece that I've been working on for a while, because I've gotten so tired of people talking about how Trump, he just doesn't understand the implications of what he says, or he doesn't understand. He understands perfectly well how to run and how to influence media and how to keep power, right? That's what we have to be focusing on, right? Not whether or not he has, you know, the background in all the foreign, like, you know, international relations about a particular country. Yes, that's important. I get that. Right. But what he's doing is not being stupid. What he's doing is he's manipulating and he's controlling his hold on power. And that's what we have to focus on. So the real work is going to be happening in those Senate chambers, not simply right, at that ridiculous press conference that he's most likely going to give.
And this is why supporting independent media is so is needed in times like right now, you know, with what Trump is doing, you know, it's. He's wagging the dog, which is going to be the cable, you know, the cable media and all That's the right. print media, or most of the print media might not even pay attention to these hearings. You know, that's why we're going to need independent media over the next several years.
Man, absolutely. Absolutely. And you see, did you see, I mean, there's other piece too as well. There's like a bunch of reporting that's coming out now, how he's gotten really close ties with the National Enquirer. Right. So now he's got a direct line with the National Enquirer. So he's going to use the tabloids, man. He's going to drive his hold on power through things like the tabloids. Meanwhile, exactly. But the mainstream media is going to be like fretting about, well, how could he say this? This is unprecedented. And how many times can they say it's unprecedented? How many times can they assume that he just doesn't understand? How many times are they going to resort to kind of like saying that he's dumb as opposed to looking what he's actually doing? I mean, it's really, really remarkable.
There's a couple of things I do have hope for. Speaking about the media in general, there's a couple of things that happened over the past week that nationally and within Harrisburg, I think we should also be focusing on. One, Washington Post hired 60 journalists last week.
Yeah, and that's big news, especially because it's the guy from Amazon, right? Jeff Bezos, and, right? I mean, he ran it, and people thought this was going to be the end of the Washington Post. So who knows what's going to happen?
And I remember having a conversation with a Washington Post journalist who was embedded with the Bernie Sanders campaign back in Gettysburg right before the primary. And I remember him saying, I'm going to be the last of my kind to ever work at the Washington Post. He's right. Like, there will never be another full-time journalist getting hired here again. Well, it looks like that has changed. I don't know what the conditions of these retirees are, but they've
that's
hired.
A good question. Yeah,
they brought on 60 journalists for the next year, which is awesome. Which is something that, you know, in a time that's cutting back in the newsrooms, you know, they've come up with a model that's profitable. Number two, in Harrisburg, Lancaster newspaper LNP Lancaster Online is starting a print only media operation called the Caucus. They bought a building right next to, literally right on State Street, right near Roxbury's office, right near a couple of lobby buildings on State Street. They're moving their whole entire political team into that building, that house on State Street. They're going to be operating out of there. And then their sole goal is to dig up dirt on the and corruption on the legislature. They brought on a couple of writers, Brad Bumstead, who used to write for the Tribune. You know, the Pittsburgh Tribune. But Brad Bumstead, once the Tribune folded, he went over to LNP. He's working there. They have another writer on. And then they also have a third person on who I think is a really good, really awesome person to have in the newsroom, especially in there. This lady, she was the state political director of with this group called the Pennsylvania News Media Association. They basically are the trade industry group for newspapers around the state. And they lobby heavily on doing right to know stuff, right? No requests, keeping government open transparency. That's what they lobby for. I've seen her and this lady in the Capitol all the time. The Lancaster newspaper hired this woman here to do nothing but file right to know requests against the government.
Phenomenal.
And they're going to be, and the first day they had on swearing in day, every single chair, right? Because there's receptions everywhere throughout the Capitol for swearing in day. Every single chair, every single tabletop was blanketed with the fold of the Caucus, the first edition.
Phenomenal.
Sort of telling the legislators, we're here and get ready to deal with us, which I thought was an awesome move for the first days. They put a printout of their first edition on every single table and every single chair in the Capitol.
Well, what a great way to signal that no more lapdogs, no more lapdogs. That is great, great news. So, you know, one of the things that, you know, and this is, you know, echoes what we've been doing here at Raging Chicken too as well. Like for those of you who tuned in for our last two episodes at the chaotic end of the year, you kind of know that we've had some changes at Raging Chicken. And a couple things that stand out is, like, number one, we started paying our writers. Now, again, I mean, Sean will tell you, right? That we're not talking about a significant amount of money. I mean, we're basically going to have $50 a month, right, in exchange for at least one article a month. I mean, that's where we can start, and that's what we can afford at this point to make sure that's going to be a sustainable going on. But we've brought on 8 people, right? So Sean obviously has been around since the beginning of Raging Chicken, right? But now we also have Seth Goldstein. Seth Goldstein is also our tech guy, right? He comes from a background in journalism, and he's going to be, he's joining us. You've seen his articles. He puts up some stuff on Raging Chicken, looking at privacy apps for the protesters looking forward. He had a great kind of really rageful piece that came out shortly after the election. We also got Nicole Halberg. Nicole Halberg, her first piece that came out was talking about the aftermath of a friend of hers who was sexually harassed, kind of in the street and things like this, and some of that background. Like, again, amazing piece. Go check that out. Karen Faradin, who's also the founder of Burke's Gas Truth, she's come aboard in Raging Chicken. She'll be writing us, particularly on environmental issues, looking at the fracking in Pennsylvania. Lou Ryan. Lou was actually a student at Kutztown University. She's got great background in both tech stuff and social media and journalistic training. She's out in Pittsburgh. She's going to be reporting for us out in Pittsburgh. We've got Sharia Bauer, who's our newest contributor. She's jumped aboard. She's going to be covering the Women's March that's coming up on January 21st. And she's going to be writing about a whole host of issues kind of connected up with the Trump regime. Evelyn Henry, who put out a piece called Tabula Rasa. She's going to bring a kind of whole different angle to some of the writing at Raging Chicken. And I think you're really going to love her writing as she kind of develops and we get to see more of her stuff online. And we've got one more person that's kind of waiting in the wings. I got to work something out with him before he's going to kind of come aboard. But we have one other person to come on, and that's pretty substantial.
Yeah, it's pretty. Let me just say, I don't think there's ever been 8 writers for the chicken in the past 4 years combined, let alone at one time. Like, I don't think we've ever had any more than like four people ever write for us over the past few years.
No, that's right. I mean, you remember back in the day, right? Right at the very beginning, it was you and Wendy Lee, right? And me, you and Wendy Lee were tearing it up on the chicken. And then we got kind of individual contributions here and there. And there's some other folks that we've had who are bloggers that that we've aggregated their content in the back, like Steve in the past, like Steve Horn, for example, like Walter Brash. I should also give a shout out to, we also have another feature that we're having is called Featured Bloggers, right? Which we're going to, again, in exchange for aggregating some of the content of these bloggers, we're giving them some small compensation that we hope to increase over time as a way of kind of building out our network. So Steven Singer, who writes over at Gadfly on the Wall blog and writes around education issues, does some great work. You've seen his stuff on Raging Chicken. He's one of our first featured bloggers at Raging Chicken. So you're going to see a lot more of his work on our site too as well. But you're right, Sean. I mean, we have not had this this kind of crew. And what we, you know, one of the things I want to kind of give a shout out to, and you know, I know, look, I mean, frankly, everybody is going to get sick and tired of hearing me ask you to become a member of the show, right? Become a member of the show, become a member of Raging Chicken Media. But frankly, we need it, right? And I just, you know, spent a couple of weeks redoing all of our fundraising goals, and they're up at our Podbean site, right? You know, go to rcpress.podbean.com. You go right there, or you just go to patron.podbean.com/rcpress. And you kind of become a patron. That's or you go to ragingchickenpress.org, right? And click on a support membership tab, become a member, and you go there and you look at our goals. We've completely redone our goals. When we first started that fundraising campaign way back in last spring, basically it was about supporting our podcast because we were launching a podcast for the first time. Completely rewritten those goals. We are halfway already. We are halfway to our first goal of $350 per month. We get to that goal of $350 per month. You know what happens, right? We increase our stipends to our writers. You go to $450 a month. Guess what happens at that point? We bring aboard another writer that's going to be based in the Lehigh Valley. We get to $650 a month. We're going to increase the stipends to our writers again, right? And on and on. If we get to the point where we get $1,000 per month, where we can actually give some decent compensation to some of our writers that's coming on, then we'll also start to launch an investigative journalism fund that we'll fund out of Raging Chicken Press. That's where we're going, folks, right? And that's where we need to go. And the frank truth about it all is that the only way we get there is with your help. The only way we get there is that for you to become a member, or just go to ragingchickenpress.com. .org and support membership, become a member there, or make a one-time donation. You can do it right there too as well.
Where else are you going to get reporting on like someone like Scott Wagner the day after it's announced that his campaign chair, that he has hired a campaign chair? Where else are you going to get that next day analysis of what this guy has done, who he has led, and what connections to the billionaires he has?
That's right, folks. And you look at that, you know Sean Kitchen's work, right? And what Sean has done here, let's be clear about this, is that Sean has been kind of one of the consistent writers since we started here. And his writing, right, over the period of this 5 years, five plus years now, right, has gotten into this like real investigative work, right? Being based out in Harrisburg has opened up a whole realm of kind of connections for Sean, and he's been able to dig into that. And at the very least, right, and I know there's lots of you out there who kind of follow Sean's writing, kind of follow him on Twitter and stuff like this. If you want to support that kind of work that Sean's doing, become a member today. Become a member for Sean and for the other seven writers that we have here aboard Raging Chicken Press. I want to be clear about too, so there's no question about this. Me personally, Kevin Mahoney, as the founder and editor of Raging Chicken Press, I take zero compensation from this. Right, the whole idea. I have a full-time job, and that's where my earnings come from. That's what allows me to actually support Raging Chicken Press to a large degree, and that's why I want to make sure that the membership is going to come and is going to support our writers. So you do this now, right? You become a member, you make a one-time donation. I cannot tell you how important that is. And also, if you're a business that's out there who's Progressive Leanings, if you're an organization out there, and you want to kind of find ways to kind of support us, you know, not the membership, but other finding ways, we've got some stuff that's going to be coming your way too as well. So look out for that. So you know, I look at this as, you know, the other perfect example of what we saw, what I talked about in the last segment, when Rick Smith comes out and he leads with what happens, what's going on in Kentucky about the turn to right to work, right? The same day that it's happening, nobody does that but an independent journalist. Nobody's going to do exactly what Sean just said, kind of dig into what's going on Scott Wagner's campaign or some of the other dark money groups that are in this state, unless we're going to support those writers who are doing that work.
And really, what this piece has done, right, these two articles, they have set the foundation for other articles months. We're 22 months away from the election.
Exactly.
You know, this right, these two articles right here, you might have only gotten a few hundred to 1,000 hits over the next couple of days. But it's that right there is going to lead to the foundation of other pieces being written on Scott Wagner over the next 20-some months when he's running for office. It's going to be like that right there put the thing out the day after he, you know, it's reported that he has formed his committee to run and who that chair is. The day after we find out he's from, you know, he has money to Students First, which has money to Betsy DeVos. And then the very next day we find out that Scott Wagner has actually had a lunch date, with Betsy DeVos.
You know, that's right.
Right no, there.
And exactly.
His campaign didn't even start yet, and the foundation has been set.
Exactly. And because, you know, look, the fact of the matter is, and we all know this, right? And we all see what happens, that most people do not pay such close attention to politics all the time like we do, right? And so when they start paying close attention, and this includes some journalists, right? Lots of journalists, actually, who don't kind of do this kind of digging on a daily basis, their publications, in part because their publications don't want them to, right? Because that's going to jeopardize their funding streams, right? So the point of it is that when people do start paying attention, right, we start getting close to the gubernatorial election, right, in 2018, people are going to start going to the web and doing searches on stuff, right? And this is what Sean's talking about setting the foundation, is that when they're going to do their searches on Scott Wagner and dark money, guess whose articles are going to be coming up first? Sean Kitch is the Raging Chicken Press, right? So that this is kind of also kind of, we're in it for the long haul here, right? This is not just the kind of splash and dash journalism here. This is the kind of stuff that we actually believe in, that tenant to be able to kind of hold power accountable. So that's where we're going, folks. And we could really, really appreciate your help. We're going to do some really cool stuff coming down the pike too as well. But I'm going to save that for another time because we're running long on time. So listen, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to try to have a little fun. How's that? We'll try to interject just a little tiny bit of fun right at the end of a very serious conversation. So we'll be back right after this. This is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken. We'll be right back.
This is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken Press. Over the past 5 years, we've brought unapologetic progressive activist media to Pennsylvania and beyond. We've helped hold those in power accountable and shine a light on some amazing activist work. We've broken national stories and established a reputation as an aggressive citizen media site. As newsrooms close and traditional journalists lose their jobs, hard-hitting investigative news suffers. If we care about our democracy, we have to find new sustainable models of journalism, and frankly, no one's going to do it for us. So take a minute to become a member of Raging Chicken Press. For as little as $5 a month, the price of a good beer or a cup of coffee, you will be supporting homegrown progressive journalists and media activists. Go to RagingChickenPress.org and click on the Support and Membership tab to become a member. Leave a one-time donation or learn about other ways you can help. We don't have billionaire backers. Keeping progressive activist media going strong depends on you. Thank you for all your help and support, and keep up the fight.
Welcome back to Raging Chicken's Out the Coop podcast. So, to close off this first episode of 2017, we'll get back to business, the real business. Nah, the fun business, right? Of beer and happenings. So, Sean, I understand that there is a pretty spectacular beer on tap out there in Central PA.
Yes. Over the past few months while we were away, I would have to admit Pizza Boy's been killing it with their IPAs coming out lately at different beers as well. You know, one's still waiting for you. Actually, two of them are, you know, if you ever get over this cough.
I know, man.
Definitely recommend drinking the stout and the IPA I gave you. But we have one on right now. It's our Sour Marin River. The Marin River is our best-selling beer. It's like a West Coast, very West Coast-style IPA, all citra hops. So it's grassy, juicy, but it's also has like very little malt backbone to it.
And it's freaking awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. I should stop drinking for a while because the hops were just killing my taste buds. But on Tuesday afternoon, they released the Sour Marin River, which basically they kettle soured it. And it just like gives like that little malt backbone. It's still like drinking 7.5% water, but it gives you like a grapefruit juice or a lemonade taste to it. And it just that's what it's like, that sourness just it's really good.
Man, it's awesome. That's awesome. I'm telling you, people got to get out there to Pizza Boy. And, you know, the one thing that that was pretty awesome that we had a chance to meet up over break, even though I was like I was said at the opening, then I was hacking up my lungs half the time, which before I really knew that I actually had something serious. Down at Tired Hands Fermentarium, I would meet up with you and James Rosansky, just to kind of, you know, be, you know, hang out, have a beer, have some lunch. And it's a pretty good stuff down there. I have to say I only had this little tiny sampler because I wasn't feeling so good. And it's, and as good as that was, it was not as good enough. And that's why I have not opened yet. Sean gave me these two awesome beers from Pizza Boy, Crowlers from Pizza Boy that I haven't even opened yet. I still have the Raging Belgium, that I have not yet opened and I have not yet tasted. So, Matthew Bienyk, if you're listening to this, I will talk about that once I actually can drink a beer again without going crazy. So, but yeah. Sean, what was the one, the stout? Because that thing, I swear to God, just you describing it to me, like made me almost want to cry because it has like everything in it that is my like perfect wheelhouse, you know?
Yeah. So they had this, stout called Azazel sitting in barrels for 3 years. It was sitting in a bourbon barrel for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And what they did was they couldn't really get a lot of beer out of it. So what they did was they blended it with a base stout. It got it down to 9% and then added, Trung coffee to it, Vietnamese Trung coffee.
Oh, God.
Orange peels, wajillo peppers, ghost peppers, cinnamon, nutmeg, and allspice. And I think vanilla beans, too.
My God.
Yeah. So you have, like, you get this big hit taste of cinnamon and allspice up front, and then on the back end, as the beer warms up, because it's a sipper, very flavorful, it's a sipper. As it warms up, you'll definitely start tasting the peppers and feeling some of the heat as it's going down.
What was the one – now, wasn't this – there was a similar one, right, that they released – I don't know. I want to say in the beginning of the fall or something like this. Or was it last year? I don't remember. That it was similar to this?
No, in the fall, they released a Trung Latte. They released a 5% Vietnamese stout with coconut and cinnamon.
Yeah.
And then last year they did a pepper sunny side up with wajillo peppers.
That's right. Six.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking of. I was thinking of, but I remember both of them. That coconut one, that was phenomenal. That was phenomenal.
So yeah, man, Terry's definitely a master when it comes to blending flavors and beers together. And with the second brewery bought on, he's really into peppers. So we've been using ghost peppers, brain strain, Carolina Reapers, and other stuff in our beers lately.
Man, that's fine. That is fantastic. Well, I'll tell you, you know, they brought on a new sour guy down here at Free Will. He's none of his stuff is out yet. But you know, he had roots in North Carolina and, I'm just going to space it out of my head where he was working there before. But he shared a couple of things with me that he had done. I'm telling you, this is, I think there's gonna be some cool stuff coming out there, especially because some of the, you know, the sours, I mean, even you. Right. Even you have become a little, I don't want to say convert, right? Because I don't want to get your back up, right? You know, but, you know, even you've kind of come around to some of the sours that are coming out of Free Will.
I thought maybe about a year ago they were a little acidic. I feel like the latest round of sours they've been coming out with have been on point.
Yeah.
I feel like sour beers takes a while to get your barrel program together. It takes years to do that just because of the barrels and stuff like that and letting the beer age and, you know, blending it correctly. This isn't like you're throwing something in a kettle and it's, you know, it's fermenting for 4 weeks and you get out in the market. This takes years to develop. But two of my favorite beers from them so far have been the Peachy McPeachface sour and then the Pommisher.
Yeah, that is phenomenal.
Yeah. And that then so phenomenal. The person who provides their fruit, Wiser Orchards, actually provides us with all of his fruit too. So the people from Free Will are usually hanging out at, you know, Pizza Boy sometimes. The guy from from our orchard provides us with all the fruit for our beer, and he provides all the fruit for Free Will with their beer. So
nice. Well, I'll tell you what. So so here we are at this is kind of, you know, again, the welcome back to 2017. It was just, you know, I would, you know, if you get your hands on that Sour Mirren River, I would definitely do that. And you know, if you get other tips from little craft breweries, little kind of local breweries in your area, drop us a line RagingChickenPress@gmail.com or directly to me at editor@RagingChickenPress.org. And we'd love to kind of highlight some of that stuff. That'd be fantastic. I just wanted to kind of just give a shout out to a couple of things that are coming up, not immediately, but they're down the road that we're going to be at. So the first thing is that at Muhlenberg College on January 28th, there's going to be this forum basically called How We Fight Back, and it's put on by State Representative Mike Schlossberg. I will be there for Raging Chicken Press. I do know that the event has now sold out, but it should be very interesting. We'll be there and we'll be covering that. So if you happen to be a person, you're up there in Lehigh Valley, you'll be going at that, please do come on over, introduce yourself. I'd love to talk with you a little bit about your perspectives on that and the How We Fight Back forum that will be up in Muhlenberg College on January 28th. And just about a month from them, a little less than a month from them, is again Keystone Progress Summit 2017 out in Harrisburg. Raging Chicken Press will be there again, and this time we'll be there in force. We've got a
in full force.
Yeah, we got a group of our writers that are going. Not everybody will be able to go, but we'll have a group of our writers that will be out there. We'll have a table out there for Raging Chicken. We'll have opportunities to kind of get on our mailing list. And oh, Sean, I didn't tell you, this is the other good announcement for everybody here too as well. Either today or tomorrow, I will be receiving a button maker in the mail. Made in the USA button maker. So my kids and I are going to get to work on that. I've already got the templates cut out, so we're going to have a bunch of Raging Chicken swag out there for folks.
Are they like the small 1-inch buttons?
No, they're 2 1/4.
Okay.
Yeah, 2 1/4 ones. Yeah, I didn't want the small ones. They were too small. But the 3-inch ones, I always find that are just they look kind of like you're running a political campaign. And
I actually have a few buttons hanging up on my billboard right now. I have the AppScuff solidarity one. Yep. I also still have the Terrible Tom button.
I love that. I love that one.
I remember going to that being that one man protest.
Yeah.
Handing them out to people from the Chamber of Commerce.
Yep.
And just like they're like looking at me, oh, this is all really nice. And look down the button, look back up at me, look down the button, and we're like really disgusted. Like, how dare you?
Yeah, no, exactly. Exactly. And I did, one of the things that we're also going to be doing too, so that's coming up, and that's February, February, did I say? February 17th? 17th and 18th. That's a Friday and Saturday. We will have another meetup scheduled for that. We're going to see where we're going to hold it. So those folks want to get together, want to join us, want to meet some of our new writers, please do keep that, in your calendar. Go look Keystone Progress Summit 2017. Look them up on the web, get to their website and join us, right? Because, what Mike Schlossberg is doing on the 28th of this month about how we fight back, that is going to be part of the conversation that we're going to also be having at Keystone Progress Summit. So Kelsey Gabbard is going to be one of the keynotes for that event there too as well, which will be interesting because there's been some controversy around some of the things she said recently. But come out there. We will have Raging Chicken swag. We are going to do our best to have our stuff set up right next to Rick Smith. So you come over and meet Rick Smith too as well. Rick is going to have some big announcements coming real soon too as well. And hopefully that'll come out ahead of the Keystone Progress Summit. So that's going to be exciting. We'll have a little bit of celebration for Rick Smith too as well. What else? I had one more thing I wanted to say. The other thing too as well. So you're looking for other ways to support Raging Chicken Press. If you've noticed on our Facebook page, you've seen this. If you go to our webpage and RagingChickenPress.org and you click on the store, I've started posting some new items for Trumplandia. So we've got some new bumper stickers up there. One that is hashtag not my monster. Justice, just say no to Trump kind of thing. Some bumper stickers that are like that. Resistance is fertile. Bumper stickers are up there too as well. We got some t-shirts. You can't win if you don't fight that are up there. All the proceeds from that, or not, I shouldn't say all the proceeds, a percentage of the proceeds from that will go directly to Raging Chicken. It's through Zazzle. We hope to be able to kind of have some products that are just going to be just ours. We'll be able to sell directly, which will be even a better fundraiser. But in the meantime, you're looking to pick up some additional swag to say that you will, you are of the resistance. Head on over to the Raging Chicken Press store and pick some of those up too as well. So Sean, any last words for the good of the order?
No, I think we're all good. Everything was said and needs to be said.
All right, sounds good. Well, we will be back on Fridays, folks. Fridays, we are back in our regular order of things, sort of, right? We shall see. What's going to be also interesting, on the 20th, we're scheduled to have a podcast, and that will be Inauguration Day. So that's also going to be something interesting to look ahead to. So we're going to see if we're going to be doing anything live for that, or if we're going to have to pre-record for that day. We shall see. So in the meantime, I wish everybody a happy new year. I hope you've got some you've rested up and you're kind of ready to fight. And, you know, Sean, we'll see you next week, man.
Yep. See you next week.
All right. This is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken, signing off. See ya.